Do you know what the Pantone color of the year being peach fuzz means to me?
What?
It means that we finally are going to get our hot girl summer next year. I think we're going to get it. Yeah.
I think so too. Yeah.
You know,
I like the sound of that.
Interest rates go down, peach fuzz, hot girl summer.
Let's do it.
That's all it can mean. Yeah. Yeah. You, Mel?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
You know what? Living the dream. I'm living the dream over here in Portland, Oregon.
What are you up to?
You know, it looks like Clark Griswold threw up all over my house and mission accomplished as far as I'm concerned. So yeah.
Sounds like the perfect thing this holiday season.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is.
Very nice. Very nice.
Well, Mel, what are we here for today?
We are here for a new week, new headlines, and today we're going to be talking about how working more than 55 hours a week is killing 750,000 people worldwide each year. What are you going to be talking about today?
I'm going to be talking about a company that pays its employees to socialize outside of work.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. I like it. All right. I like it.
Death and money. Let's talk about it.
All right. Well, I'll jump into the news here on the 55 hours per week. I think tons of people work 55 plus hours per week. It doesn't matter if you're in corporate or if you're in skilled trades. Recently, a study conducted by the International Labor Organization, and if you're not sure who that is, do you know who that is, Francesca?
I'm familiar, but I'm not like super familiar.
Okay. I'm going to share their mission statement here. The International Labor Organization is a UN agency, United Nations, and they've been around since 1919. So quite some time.
Damn. That's like before the Model T.
Yeah. Yeah. So they know their stuff. They've been doing this for a while. Well, the International Labor Organization brings together three things: governments, employers, and workers of over 187 member states. US is part of one of their member states that participates to really set the labor standards, develop policies and programs that promote decent work for all women and men. That's really their mission, which I can stand behind. Well, recently, in partnership with the World Health Organization, they conducted a study called A Call for Healthier and Safer Work Environments. This was published on November 26th. So if you were in your Thanksgiving turkey-induced haze, you probably missed this one. Just wanted to...
Yeah, I missed that WHO release. Yeah, sorry about that.
Wasn't in your news ticker?
No. Sephora Black Friday in the WHO. Yeah.
You know, considering Black Friday is, which I hate Black Friday, by the way, personally.
Oh, God. Yeah. If you've worked in retail, you hate Black Friday.
Black Friday is I'm sitting at home in thermal pajamas, drinking tea and watching movies, not going outside. Okay. Yeah. I digress. Okay. Sorry. I'm going to start with some good news first from this report. The journalist noted in the article, and this is a quote, that the number of deaths at work is not growing at the same rate as the population. This is a good thing. So in other words, proportionally fewer people are dying due to their employment now than at the beginning of the century. So while deaths at work have increased by 12% between 2000 and 2019, our working population has increased by 26% in the same period. So that's the good news, that it's not fewer people are dying at work. That's a good thing.
I'll
take it.
One is too many.
less is great. That's great. Yeah, yeah. Let's see that number continue to go down. But what they found was that almost 7% of annual deaths are linked to employment. And there are many risk factors that play into this. So things you'd expect, right? Like, what would you expect in terms of workplace death?
Falling off a building or, you know, something like that. You're flying and it crashes. Like physical, kind of more physical death, I guess.
That's yeah, exactly that. Like you think, I don't know, smoke, injuries, exposure to things asbestos. Like asbestos,
yeah, yes,
right?
1,000%.
Like you see those mesothelioma commercials all the time.
Do you
they scare me every time. Yes. I'm like, I didn't work anywhere near this, but now do I need to call?
We all know what mesothelioma is now.
Yeah. Right.
You may be entitled to compensation. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, yes. We all have, yeah. We know that. what they found, the highest risk factor is working 55 hours per week or more. And
whoa.
Yeah. What does that do to you hearing that?
It makes sense in the sense that 55 hours a week is actually quite a bit of time. It's a long, long time, right?
It's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time. And if you have any stress in your job, which most of us do, and I don't care what kind of job you have, that's 55 hours of your body's feeling that, right? Like, I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised. I don't know why.
I'm not surprised either. I think about the average workday, assuming you are working 8 hours per day.
Yeah.
And now you factor in if you've moved to hybrid or return to office, there's likely commuting time that goes into it. I think the average can be anywhere between 2 to 3 hours of commuting time a day for folks. And then you tack on life stuff. So you tack on cooking dinner, spending time with your family, anything, you know, just going to the gym, taking care of yourself. Yeah. And suddenly you find yourself in sort of a Groundhog Day situation where Monday through Friday, you have no time for yourself. And if you're working 50, that's with a 40-hour work week.
Yeah.
You're tacking on 10 more hours, 15 more hours. In some cases, you know, there are careers where people are working 80 hours per week during a busy time of year, right? And easily. So when you, and especially in, I think in the corporate world too, there, you're a salaried employee, there's not a lot of protection around your time. It's just, that's the time you give, even if now you're making peanuts per hour because you're giving this amount of time. Yeah. It's just that expectation that's set. So this really struck a chord with me because I think across a number of industries, there are people that give more than the standard 40 hours. And it's likely that there's underreporting of the time that they're giving. Some people signing on to their email on the weekends or in the evenings just to catch up or stay on top of things. Not necessarily because there's something wrong with their way of being productive or organizing their schedule. Sometimes it's just the work and the expectation that's happening, right? And so if this is it's like the largest risk factor for employee death, man, it's something we really need to be paying attention to. And going back to the human rights piece, right? I think where I live in Connecticut, a turn of the century industrial time, is, you know, the protests that happen here is what helped establish the 8-hour workday and fighting for those rights. And it's, it feels like we've established this 8-hour workday, but yet we're still here where there's a 55 hour per mm-hmm. week commitment that's killing people. So how are we getting there?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me.
I think we're in the precipice of just massive change. And here's why. Okay.
Yeah.
We've had this work week for a very long time. Got it. There's a couple of other irons in the fire that I think people should be paying attention to. You've got this work week expectation that's still out there, right?
Yeah.
Just is. On the same token, you're getting data that's saying this isn't healthy anymore. People are dying from this. On the same token, you have Gen Z coming in a lot of times and being like, I don't want to work like this anymore.
Yeah. They don't dream of labor. There was an interesting article that came out recently about Gen Z doesn't dream of labor. And I'm on TikTok. You're on TikTok. There was a viral video that came out of a young woman who was crying. She's like, I don't have time to do anything else but work. Is this what it's going to be like? And it, but I think we've all gone through that phase, regardless of the generation that you come from. It's just nice to see people are standing up against it. Like, this isn't okay.
Well, and here's my thing. There's this very interesting argument. I've sat in rooms before where people will say, well, they just need to earn their stripes. I did it. They just need to do it.
Yeah.
And this is how you learn. This is how work is. And I do have a question of, is it?
I don't buy into that.
I don't buy into it either. You know why? Because of AI. I'm a bit of an AI optimist.
Yeah.
Most people know that about me. When you use it for the right things.
Right.
But I think we have a massive opportunity to make just as much money, have our people work less, because they're going to be leveraging AI, but what they're doing is higher level type of work.
Agree.
I'm fascinated with now the data is coming out that's saying, oh, wait, we're not supposed to be working this much. And quite honestly, this is how all this shit happens. Oh, wow. Smoking causes lung cancer. You know, so I am curious if, is this the start of this story?
I hope so. I think it's all the headlines. It's almost like you have workers against companies, with companies really fighting for this control of how things have always been, you know, these traditional 40-hour work weeks or more, or you need to be in an office for that FaceTime, or things like culture and engagement can't happen unless you're commuting into an office or space. And I don't buy into that. Coming from our generation, I'm a Zennial, you know, right on the cusp of Gen X, millennial.
It's a thing. It is a thing.
We're like this weird sliver generational.
So weird. I know. It's true.
But, you know, like I was raised with, this is what you do and this is the path. But it took me until probably my mid-30s to be like, does it need to be like this? Where I started really questioning that. I love to see this information coming to light because it's so incredibly important. That's like important conversation to start having. And it's something that, if it's a risk factor for your employees, it's a risk factor for you as an organization. Are you killing your employees because of your expectations? So love to see where this is headed. I'm going to link to the article and to the International Labor Organization. So anyone listening can go out and check out these pieces, and they can dive further into the study. I will say that the proportion of deaths in Europe and America were listed as low, the highest proportion happening right now in Africa and Asia Pacific and Oceania. But the International Labor Organization didn't provide specific data for Europe or America, nor does it provide the information by country. So although it's soon going to be distributing this information in an expansion of this initial study. So I didn't get from the article when that other study is expected to start or be completed, or when that report would be ready. But now that I know this, it's something I'll be watching out for. It's interesting to see. Stay tuned.
Love the data, you know? Yeah. And the beautiful thing is right now we have tools to think about work differently. And I think it'll come down to potentially some of these companies that are thinking about, do we need to be having our people work a 50-hour work week anymore or not? Right. Do we really need to do that to make cash?
Yeah. I think this is an exciting time. And if you're ahead of the game and you're really taking a look at this stuff now, you're going to be a winner in the future.
Athena is paying its employees to socialize outside of work. And so here's the thing. When I first read this, I was like, ooh, okay, tell me more. Because you could go either way with this, right? But this is really, to me, pretty damn cool. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
So Athena is a remote first company. And they understand the value of relationships, especially having relationships at work. We all know that building that trust, building that relationship, having that work friend is key. And what they decided to do is basically give every employee $100 a month to socialize with someone else at work.
Oh, I love
it. Full stop. Yeah. No strings attached.
I love that it's your own personal budget for this stuff, so that you're not tied to, we've all been there where you're like, this outing that my team is planning, it's a specific day, then you got to work around that, or you can't go because there's all kinds of things associated with that. This I like because it's meaningful to each individual. What's meaningful to them, not what's meaningful to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
That's what I do. I got to call out the VP of people there, which is Melanie Naranjo, I believe she and her team came up with this concept of giving people a blanket $100. And here's a couple of things that just to think about in terms of really giving people that autonomy of choice. One is, the only caveat is it has to be with somebody else at work. That's it. That's literally it. You want to go get your nails done? Go for it. You want to go kayak? Great. You want to go, you know, see Barbie, whatever. They're not going to have any boundaries around it. Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like, please don't do illegal shit. You know,
well, I'm sure. Yeah. Don't. Go.
Yeah.
The many lists of don't do this.
Yeah. Don't do this. Please God, you know, but again, you can understand the idea of here's your choice. Just grab someone else and go. Right.
That's so nice. It's such a, I love the autonomy behind it. And I don't know, when you think about like wanting to do things, I could have had lunch with four people at work in a month with that kind of budget, which is so nice. Like, you don't normally get to do that. So
no, you don't. And you can stack it. So for instance, if you say, hey, Mel, you and I, we want to go to a Broadway show and dinner. So we're going to stack 2-3 months so we can actually do that.
Oh,
you
even
can do
better.
That. Right.
Yeah. Like, you don't lose it after if you don't use it.
Yeah. And I think I'd love for people to think about this as this. Okay. Let me give you a scenario. You're an employee. Would you rather have a holiday party and maybe some sort of summer barbecue? Or would you rather have this, where you have $100 a month, i.e. $1,200 a year, where you can decide however, whoever, whenever you want to build a relationship?
I'm interested to hear from folks listening in what they think.
Yeah.
Personally, I would like the latter here, where you can do this whenever, you can do whatever. I love the thought of being able to pull together your monies if you have a group of people who want to do something together, to do something big. So if they want to do their own little holiday get together, they can, you know. I don't know. It's nice.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. Yeah. I love when we do this, where we're giving choice, where we're giving agency for the purpose of building relationships, because you're letting people do it the way that they want to do it. And I think at the end of the day, you'll have even more solid relationships if you've gone to like lunch with 12 people over the course of the year versus socializing for a drink at happy hour on a holiday party.
Agree.
Yeah.
I loved it. This is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
I like that story.
I do too. Melanie, congrats to you. Love it. Keep going.
Nice work, Melanie.
Yeah. Damn. You know, sometimes VPs of people don't get called out for like all the good stuff that they're doing, but you know, I think she deserves.
Yeah, they're doing good stuff.
Yeah. Mel, great to spend some time with you today.
Same. Nice to see you, friend.
Yeah, nice to see you, friend. I'm excited. If we're dropping something else this week too, aren't we? Our part two for layoffs.
Oh, we are. Yes. Yeah. So if you haven't already done so, check out part one of the layoff playbook. We talk about why layoffs happen, how they're decided, and the signals that you can look out for to know if they might be coming to a place near you. And in part two, we are jumping into focusing on you as an employee. So if you're impacted by layoffs, things that you can do for yourself, if you're a team leader, what you should be doing, and if you are a member of the team who is experiencing this, some things that you can do as well. So look out for part two, but listen to part one first if you can. And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Love bringing the headlines. Love bringing these deep dives. We're going to come back with that. Check out part two for layoffs. And Mel, I'll see you same time, same place next week.
Same time, same place.